We OG, we OG, or no G. You're not bullish enough.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're not bullish enough.
You ain't got the or no. I get stoned by the bolo. Bitcoin set to Olo.
Yeah.
Experts on reload.
Yeah, yeah. You're not bullish enough.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're not bullish enough.
You ain't got the or no. I get stoned by the bolo. Bitcoin set to Olo. Experts on reload, reload. Man, pool getting hot. Everybody wanna rock.
Hey.
Rooms is coming, everybody on a night, ay. It's a nuisance, order no revolution, ay. Order no revolution.
Yo, is my guy for real, bro?
Run stuff.
Y'all French right now. Yo, BRC420, bro.
Yeah,
bro. That shit found fire, bro. Imagine if he in here.
Yeah, lock it in the seal.
Murder.
I got balls of steel. Nookie on the field. Yeah, this shit for real. With no calls, I get so far. Got 100 phone calls that I go hard. And they gon' love me. Smoke weed, huddle back. I get shiesty. Where my Bitcoin looking lovely. All this Satoshi's nothing above me.
Bitcoin's alive, what you gon' do? Mempool fees are high, high. Order no, order no, order no. Where does it stop? Nobody knows. It's a revolution, ayy. Bitcoin is the one, no substitution, ayy. Wish it's in your glory, it's order no revolution.
Welcome back to Ordinal Revolution. My name is Shizzy. On this channel, we cover the entire Bitcoin Ordinal ecosystem. What's up, guys? We have an amazing show for you guys today. Like always, we are live and it is going to be absolutely amazing. We were very low energy yesterday, but the energy is high today. Me and Yago B were just arguing over Domo and Casey, and it was amazing. And I was like, this is going to be a good one today, man. This is going to be going. So guys, get excited. Rooms are going to zero. Get even more excited, because when they said that, that's when BRC20 started to take off, and I think we're going to get the same thing today. The dog is launched. R6 probably going to be the top coin. Rumors from Kook saying it could be a DEX. I don't know, but it's a lot of stuff going on, and we do have a special guest today. We have Mr. J from Unicross. Unicross is going to be able to bridge all the Layer 1 assets eventually over to Merlin, and which is going to create amazing DeFi opportunities for Layer 1 assets. Guys, this is something that is going to be absolutely amazing. We're going to get to him around 11:30 hour, but let's get into the show here. But guys, I just want to make sure you guys are not spending all like a crap load of money in fees. So definitely use my friends over at Sat Hunter. Sat Hunter, they launched, they're ready, they're going. Sat Hunter has the top paying referral program in the industry. When you refer a friend, you earn 50% of the service fee paid in Bitcoin. You can track everything on their dashboard. Etch runes at sathunter.com. That's sathunter.com. Referral link in the show notes. Use our referral link. It helps the show. But Sat Hunter is amazing. And if you get their ordinal, you pay zero fees. So definitely check those guys out. Huge fan of Francis and very thankful for his mentorship of us and everything that he's done for us. So definitely want to support him anyway. We do have a new article all about Sat Hunters as well. Yago B made it this morning and it is phenomenal. Go check out OrdinRevolution.com and go check out that article. But without further ado, let's get the show on the road here. I'm going to bring in my partner, as always, Mr. Yago B. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Not much.
We
bring in the energy. My wife was like, what are you and Shizzy fighting about in there? And I was like, man, we fight like brothers, you know. We are like brothers. We fight like brothers. And when we get into, you know, one side thinking one's right, the other side thinking they're right, we're not going to let up, right? And then eventually it comes to of like, okay, I'll give you a little bit here. I'll give you a little bit there. And I think that's how the space should be, really, you know, like, yep. Not necessarily like, you know, stand down in what you believe in. Obviously, you know, you always want to stand true to who you are, but maybe open your mind a little bit more on both sides of the arguments, right? Just to kind of try at least to understand what the other person's saying.
100%. And like arguments are really good for the space, just like you said, just because, like, you know, I like to be proven wrong, but I'm going to give you every single point to prove that I'm right until you can come back and say, hey, no, you're wrong. And that's why the show is so amazing. And that's why, you know, we're very different aspects of the entire space come into one. And, you know, that definitely helps the show 100%. If you guys get one aspect all the time, the show isn't great. But if you got different aspects from different wares, like, I mean, I'm an Eagles fan. He's a Cowboys fan. I mean, it can't be any more different.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
Oh, man. So I guess we want to start with the king.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let me flip my screen because I hate using the one that my thing is on right now. So let me get over here real quick. Bitcoin. All right. Bitcoin is kind of doing what it's been doing the past week, right? We're at hump day today. We're at 65K. You know, we were heading, trying to touch 67,000 yesterday. This is what we've kind of said, right? That this is going to range, you know, in the mid to low 60s, maybe a little bit higher. We'll see. It's really going to be at the end of the month that I'm calling when things start to liven up. I could be wrong, but one of the big things is the Hong Kong ETF. I keep saying that because it's a big event. It's a big event that people aren't talking a lot about. You know, they brought it up in different shows a little bit here and there. And I like that kind of hype to where it's kind of like, okay, this could be a big thing, but they're not over talking about it, right? Except for me, I keep talking about it. But because I truly do think it's going to bring immense buy pressure. And, you know, I think it's going to be good for the space. But we got some other people that are looking for really low entry. Shout out Sam in the chat, one of our good friends. In the space for a long time from the ordinal side. He's looking for a $32,000 entry. I saw on his Twitter timeline. And I was just like, don't you do it. Don't you say.
I think he's creating a time machine. I think that's the only way that he's going to ever get a $32,000 entry ever again. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll like, you know, the space never surprises. That's what I'll say. I definitely don't think we reach there's a big liquidity grab for the market makers down there, though, because people, you know, this is one thing we got to accept in the space. Like, leverage will always be used here because it's just a high risk environment. And yes, like after SBF and all that stuff, that calmed down a bit, but like it will always restart, you know, have a resurgence in leverage usage. And I feel like we're starting to really see that come back up, right? Because people are like, man, right now they're just probably like, you know, chomping at the bit waiting for Bitcoin to really take off, and they're trying to take these long positions, and that could really bite people in the butt, you know, because leverage is dangerous. So
yeah, man. So you got a lot of koala on Impala.
Yes, koala on Impala. Koala on Impala. Koala on Impala.
But yeah, man. I just want to so kind of I've been showing my little wedge here, and still following along. You know, we're hitting the top here, back to the bottom. So I called this back here, and it's really, really going forward. And then, you know, we could probably see, you know, tomorrow potentially back up here at around 70, and then maybe a trip back down to 61. I think we're going to follow this wedge pretty much to the end here. I don't think to your point, I think we don't really see a burst out until mid-May, around there, before I think we start taking off from there. So this, you know, it's a bull flag, 100%. And you can call it what you want, but that right there is the ultimate bull flag. But I think we follow it through. I think we don't maybe break out until maybe June or mid-May or something like that. So it's definitely something that I think. But I think when we do break out, it's going to be an incredible breakout. I think it's nothing's going to stop it for sure.
Yeah. Well, so I was on the hourly chart here, which shows kind of like this downward sentiment. I mean, you can see from Monday, there hasn't really been much of the sell buy pressure for Bitcoin. It's been mostly sell pressure from the MACD. But like, if you look on the daily chart, we had our first red candle in 5 days. So this is not really good in terms of trying to obviously reach something that's been really consistent, kind of like since February, like, you know, this type of incline, right, up. But so we might see a couple red days in a row. We'll see what happens. I'm sticking to my end of April thesis. to where things start to get, it might not happen right on April 30th, but you know, maybe the first couple of days of May when things start to turn up. But that's what Bitcoin looks like right now. And I'm really wanting to get into the conversations about, you know, the Bitcoin ecosystem now.
100%. Let's jump into our next thing here, which is my favorite, roll call, right? So
let's do it. Roll call.
All right. First is first. We got Tobo, and first means everything. And congratulations, Tobo. You are number one. Let's go with your comment there. And not only were you first to comment, but you were also first to like. Congratulations to you, my friend. You Tobo are today's winner. Crypto Noob is in the building. Tim Bakes. Then we got D-Love. D-Love was top. Always been top all week. Congratulations, D-Love. And then we have Mike's World in the building. Glasshopper, Green Man, I Walk Alone, Yazir, always here, my man. Then we got my man Danny. Danny's always here. Congratulations, Danny. We appreciate you, buddy. And then we have Soapin Capital. Kelly Capital's here. DJ Clitty Litter, my man from OSD. And then we have E-Buck in the building. What's up, E-Buck? And then we have Crypto Hot News. Sales. Sales is new here. Nocturnal, Chain Watcher, Neil Tante, old GM Revolution, GM Neil, saying UD Scam, Lucky Lukey, USX, USX, and then we have saying always here, Vaxzone, like you commented earlier about my man Sam in the building from Ordinal Side, Sack, Johannes, admit you're always here, Pelpa, Esprita, Carlos, Aso, Rick G, DTH, Cryptocurrencies, Wasabi, and then we have
Wasabi Candy.
Wasabi, is that what it is? Wasabi Candy?
Yeah, Wasabi.
We have Danny again. And then Bonehead Sharks in the building. Thank you everyone for being here. Appreciate every single one of you guys.
Yeah, you missed my favorite guy over John. I know he's your favorite guy too. He says BRC20s is dead. Long live Jeff and his BRC20 Merle. Well, BRC20 Merle is definitely not dead, and BRC20s aren't dead. And I know he's being sarcastic. And he says, Casey Shilling's tickers, they don't get any worse. I'm only showing these because I know that John and Shizzy, they're best friends. And I love John because he comes out and he likes to poke the bear.
I don't even see his comments. I don't even see. I can't see John. He's John Cena to me. But but yeah, man. All right. We want to get to next. We want to go in first. We got a bunch of topics to talk about here.
Well, let's talk about runes down bad.
Yeah,
that's been kind of the sentiment. You know, the first couple days of this week is like, it was weird. It was up and down like a roller coaster. Couple tickers were really starting to catch momentum, but then they, paper hands sold out of those. And it was just like, there hasn't really been like a bunch of momentum catching for runes. It looks like this morning, Dog to the Moon got airdropped and started to catch some momentum there.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been kind of a, hold on to dear life type of situation. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I am very excited about it, right? So I think it's an amazing buying opportunity. I've been buying last night and all morning. I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning trying to find some good entries. And because I knew that once Fuhu was done minting, the prices would drop. I mean, the gas prices would drop. And, well, I'm sorry, the transaction fee. Because over here on Bitcoin, we don't like saying gas, but it's hard. But the transaction fee was going to drop, right? So, and then I was right about that. Transaction fee dropped when Fuhu minted out, and now it is about 100 sats or V-byte hanging out around there. I might go higher later, but I think that is a good place to be trading, and you're going to see a lot of things getting bought up today. And I was lucky enough to get everything real cheap because I'm very excited about my entries and very excited about the future of runes.
Yeah, there's just a lot of like weird uncertainty, right? Like with Fihu, yeah. It's like the number one volume on OKX right now Unisat for the past 24 hours. And I take a look at OKX. Let's see here. It's number two. But yeah, like, we're waiting to hear more news about like Fihu to see what the heck it is. people were minting it out like crazy. There was a post that was saying that it's supposed to be like the next Arcic. So like, I don't know what that means. Does that mean if you hold one that you're going to get a certain distribution of the pre-mine tokens? That would be awesome, right? But then it's like, man, it was like a really kind of just a psychological game that they played with the ordinal space, right? If that's the case. In the end, I think it's cool because if you did, you know, bet your money on them, you'll get rewarded if that's the case. Other people are saying it could be a pre-sell IDO thing. I think that would be the worst case scenario if they do a pre-sell, just because most of the people that minted, you were only able to mint one each. If you were buying on secondary, they were split up in one lot for one token. So a lot of people would be like putting, you know, thousands of dollars in for like maybe 50 of these tokens. And if it's an IDO pre-sell, they're going to get wrecked, right? So because then $111 million token supply, and you got 50, that's like pennies. So yeah,
100%. Their Twitter just sounds like, guys, please don't be minting this. Like, it sounds like, oh no, like this is not good. So we got it's called, their Twitter is Fihu Room. And let's see, I haven't seen if they tweeted anything yet so far, but today, but 18 hours ago, again, there is no reason to mint Fuhu in a high fee environment. If you miss the public mint, don't worry, there will be a way to attain Fuhu allocation that is at least economically effective as public minting. So, and then you had Leonidas actually commented on this. And that's what got my attention is here is a code words for we're doing a massive pre-sale ICO for Fuhu. That is scary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's scary. Fuhu, please don't do that. You're going to wreck everybody. But yeah, I mean, so you're kind of laying your bets with that. Right. So uncertainty, anxiety, stress. So that's one thing. Right.
Yeah.
And then you have Dog Go to the Moon, which, if you look at the single airdrops, which are, you know, 889, 806, which is every runestone, you got 889,806 Dog Go to the Moon tokens. They're selling for about right under $2,500, right? So that's about kind of what I would say I got for mine whenever I sold all of my eight, right? On Magic Eden before the airdrop. So you're getting kind of the same thing. It'd be like just selling your tokens right now, which, you know, most people think that this is going to moon high. So it could have been a bad decision, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to be upset about like almost 20 something thousand dollars. Right. So yeah, I think right now it's just kind of the start. It's definitely taking over volume. It's number two here. It's number one on OKX. And let's check out Magic Eden here. And it's number one on Magic Eden in terms of volume. Magic Eden's volume's coming back up too. By the way, we saw like it was really weird. The first day of Magic Eden's volume was so high and then it pulled back a lot, but now it looks like it's catching back up. So maybe people were, I don't know, maybe the numbers were just a little skewed or something, but now they're starting to compete back again to be the top, one of the top. But you can see, you know, Doggo Go to the Moon is that number one, R6 number two. So two airdrops are the two top volume. And then you have Satoshi Nakamoto, which was not airdrop, but pre-mined a little bit and then minted out. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But the second part of your topic says, or will the BRC20 Domo fanboys cry after fading? Yeah,
they will be crying. All the Domo fanboys, like you guys can say what you want about, you know, about Casey and stuff like that. Yeah, but Domo really isn't a builder. Domo really hasn't built anything. I mean, BRC20s is basically, you know, Casey's protocol. Just he added some Domo data to it, right? I'm not saying he did an amazing job, right? He's amazing, but like, there's been no advancement in BRC20s at all, like nothing. And it's been over a year now, and you know, they're building a layer two or something to bridge into a layer 1.5, whatever it is. It's something you got to bridge your tokens to, but on layer one. Runes will be number one here, and if the BRC20 boys are you know, they're all happy right now, but they're gonna be very sad very soon.
Well, I mean, so this was what Shizzy and I were arguing about before we jumped on the show was, you know, the whole point was, in his eyes, he felt like Domo didn't build anything, And if you think about it from like a deep protocol, like system or layer or just protocol in general, like, yeah, he didn't build anything that was super intricate. But what he did do was he implemented the logic for the JSON to be able to have fungible tokens on Bitcoin, right? Whether that is a layer on top of ordinals or not, it brought in far more liquidity than ordinal collections did. Well, at least that's my, you know, knowledge of what I've seen so far. Maybe my numbers were skewed, but one thing I will say is that, like, that liquidity, a lot of it rotated into these ordinal collections. And so I think that, like, yeah, maybe people think that Domo, some people think that he maybe got too much credit. Some people don't think that he got enough credit. At the end of the day, numbers don't lie. And I think what that means is that, like, the liquidity that BRC20's brought in has never been even, you know, close to that previously for any other fungible token standard. And I think you got to give credit, a ton of credit to that. Also, they haven't done anything to make the user experience better in terms of advancements with BRC20, other than, like, these, you know, poor attempts by Unisat with the swap, you know, early release of that. But what I've seen in some spaces is that, you know, that experience is going to change dramatically in the next couple months. Now, until it gets here, it's just talk, because that's what all it's been this past 12 months, talk. But I'm still open-minded to, you know, BRC20 creating an environment to making those trading those tokens more UX friendly. And I also am in the camp to where I think, like, you know, Atomicals and ARC20 will carve out their own type of place in Bitcoin, and Tap Protocol actually has a chance, even though I would say that they would be on the latter end of that, all of these meta protocols.
Yeah. And, you know, all the credit to Domo. He did something amazing. He created the horse and buggy, right? But I think that Casey just invented the car. That's what Runes is. Runes is going to take us to the next level. Yes, that car is a 1920, you know, Ford, but, you know, it's going to take time for that car to kind of, like, become what it is. But it's going to get updated, unlike BRC20s. It's the same since last February. It's never really been. But Domo's not, you know, a builder like that. He's more of a Domo data. He's all about data and stuff like that. So, I mean, maybe they are building, but it looks like they're building for, like, a layer two. And if you have to bridge into something, it's a layer two or it's sidechain. It's not layer one Bitcoin. So to me, it doesn't matter. If I got a bridge in and bridge out, then it's not layer one. And Runes will be the top layer one Bitcoin asset class. I truly believe that. And, you know, we got things like, you know, study CBRC20. Again, with the Moto bridge, if I got a bridge in and bridge out, I'd rather just do it on an EVM. Right, because I know how to use EVM and stuff like that. So I don't know, maybe it could be good, but it's still not going to be what Runes is going to be. Runes, I mean,
well, that's the thing, is that a lot of times you're saying what Runes is going to be. It's not it either. Like, if you were to say, you know, the advancement of making the UX better, like, it's so incremental that, like, it doesn't matter. It's not bringing over these users from Solana and Ethereum and stuff like that. But once that happens. Once that happens, then you can say, look what Runes did. Runes did it.
Yeah, but I can already see the path that Runes is taking.
But
right?
You can see it.
Clogging my wallet up with crap. I got about $4,000 in burnt like ordinals from using BRC20s that I got to figure out a way to consolidate all that to get the tokens out. But meaning I have to pay to get those you know, the Satoshis out, so, which is crap. My every one of my wallets look like crap inside. Just a whole bunch of useless data. You know, useless like things.
And so with that, yes. But what you were talking about earlier is, like, what, you know, it's what's going to happen in the future. That's what you kept saying about Runes.
Well, and I know,
I think that, like, you gotta hold off a little bit until it happens. Like, once it happens, throw it in the face of everybody. Like, be like, I told you so. I told you so.
When,
but if it hasn't happened, it hasn't happened.
When Elock put out the tweet about recursion, I started digging in deep, right? I went down a rabbit hole totally, and I'm still digging into that because it's a lot, and I would love to have him on the show. But when he put that out about recursion and runes, and you can't do this with BRC20s. You're basically going to take recursion and runes and kind of do some crazy stuff with it. And there's a lot of things coming. I truly believe that with rooms, because Casey, he said he built a shitcoin casino, but I think he built a really good fundamental environment for DeFi, potentially on layer one using recursion and using rooms. Yeah, and I see that. I see the path to that. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Yeah, and recursion is amazing, because when I first heard about it, like, I just went nuts too, and I went down that rabbit hole like months and months ago, right? Like 8 months ago, 7 months ago, when Danny Yang talked about it from OCM. And although it has produced some really, really cool art, I wouldn't say it's like really increased the value of a lot of things from a monetary standpoint really that much. What it has made is it's made things easier for some artists to be able to put collections on Bitcoin at a cheaper price, right? I really think like there's a lot of cool shit, right? Like we've even said, like there's been cool stuff talked about Bitmap, there's been cool stuff talked about NATs and all this recursion theory, but there hasn't been like this amazing, like freaking game changing value add with all this stuff in terms of seeing it from a monetary standpoint. But if it's possible, then, there just needs that. So what that tells me is that the builders need to get working or start collaborating and stuff and make stuff happen. So yeah. We'll see. I was really intrigued by that too. The recursive endpoints, you can, from what I'm hearing, you can possibly use rooms in payment rails that are like automated with gaming systems and environments and stuff like that. And data in general, right? And so we'll just have to really dig in there and see if they build it. Because at the end of the day, the biggest thing in the space is like talk is what I'm, seeing. Well, and so we'll see.
That was the biggest problem with ARC20s, right? Everyone's saying there's so much building happening, but you don't see anything. There's no one to talk to. There's no one to call. There's no one to have on the show. Every time I say that, they're Chinese, they don't speak English or stuff like that. But in like from my point of view, I don't see no building happening. I can already see on my timeline guys like Elok that are posting things like, hey, check this out. You know what I mean? And then guys like are going to be working on this type of stuff. I can already see people, they're already talking about what they're thinking about building, and then they stop, right? Because they don't want to give it the whole thing away. So I'm very curious about what the next 3 months are going to bring. And I think it's going to be pretty amazing. Like I can see the road. I can see the road being built. Obviously I can't drive on it yet. I can't get to where I need to go, but I can just see it being built and it looks pretty cool. That's it.
Yep. I mean, and when I was reading about recursion back, like I said, 7-8 months ago, I could see very clearly applications being built on Bitcoin using recursion. And we really haven't seen much of that. Yes, little video games and stuff like that. But you get what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, let's kind of pump the brakes and let's let things get rolled out. And then like everybody can be like, okay, it's over. You know what I mean? Like it's the game has been won. I just don't think that we're there yet.
Yeah, Azir says, I prefer a Cadillac Eldorado over the Ford. So, I mean, and then he goes, still no one has used potential yet. So far, we just dealt with memes. We need to give the potential time, prove itself, and it will. I completely agree. Yeah, Azir is probably my favorite commenter, honestly. I love a lot of you guys, but Azir is the man. But
I mean, one thing for sure is we got to give it time, 100%. We've given these other protocols time, Runes is like literally in its fourth day of implementation, maybe fifth day, no more than that. It launched on Friday, but anyways, so definitely time's a thing. Guys, put your questions in the chat. We will get to your questions in the Ordinal after hour. Like we said, we have a guest that's going to be jumping on here shortly, and we're going to be talking about these kind of topics as well with Unicross and what can happen with Bitcoin layer one assets on Merlin, because we think that scalability is going to be a big deal in terms of getting these Solana users, these EVM users to trade these Bitcoin fungible tokens.
So. And this is the last thing I want to hit on before we move to the next thing, is just like the reason why I think runes are down the last 2 days is this exact reason. It's not about fading runes, guys. I want to go in, but like me, the gas is just crazy, $100, $200 per minute. That is exactly why we were down yesterday. There's no other reason. And the reason is for Fuhu was minting. Now Fuhu is done. There's not a lot of mints right now. There's some Abyss one that's minting, but it's not causing a lot of, you know, etch fees and stuff. Like Dog was able to airdrop, and it still was under 100. And yeah, 100%. This we hit the bottom in runes, and I think it's up only from here. But we can move on now.
Yeah, so let's go here. Dog, we were just talking about this a little bit ago. Dog to the Moon airdrop has started. So this is another thing that we were talking about pre-show. And, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to play out, right? Because, you know, Dog to the Moon started with the Runestones, and there was a huge amount of airdrops. And I look at that as free money, right? And I don't want to really go down that argument, like, but we, you know, we'll touch on it. Shizzy says it wasn't free because you're spending your time to be able to hold these and all this stuff. I said it's still free money. Like, you're not having to take any monetary loss to be able to receive these. So we just kind of was like, okay, we'll agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
But the part where I think we will kind of bring into this conversation is, you know, how well does Dog Go to the Moon do? Because now that, like, you know, there was over 100,000 something wallets that received these runestones, you know, and there was a good portion amount that saved. There was a decent portion amount that sold them on the secondary markets. And it's going to create an instant, like, huge market cap, right? So right now, actually, I'm looking on Unisat, and the floor just jumped to $2,607, right? So
damn.
If you're looking on Magic Eden, it'll tell you the market cap right away. And the market cap for these are $287 million, like right off the jump, right? Wow. So my argument was, if there was a token that naturally built its way to $287 million market cap by people, you know, voting with their mice and actually, you know, spending their Bitcoin on it, versus one that has basically been like a free airdrop, minus the argument with time and all that stuff. I see where he's coming from, but minus that, like, which type of approach is stronger? And my personal opinion is the one that, like, people put their monetary value into. I'm not saying this is going to go to zero. This will probably pump, you know, to like maybe 500 million, maybe more, maybe it gets to a billion. But I just feel like it's there's a different feel to it, as opposed to like how many people are going to dump because, you know, they got maybe four runestones that are worth like maybe $8,000 right now. And then they want to get into something that is like a maybe $2 to $5 million market cap that has potential to pump up, and then they can do like 100x or something. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I don't know. You want to talk about your point on this?
Yeah, my point is like, yeah, you're talking about monetary, but I'm talking about time. Like, you took the time to hold this thing, right? You took the time to put in and use Unisat and use Magic Eden to get these airdrops, right? And, you know, my time is actually worth more than my money. I'd rather have my time than my money, honestly. If I had to choose one, which one are you choosing? If you had to pick more time or more money, you're going to pick the time. Every single time, because you want to live, right? So that's my point. Is like, people put time into holding this, and you held this over time. You held this over time. You could have took that profit any single point, but you didn't. So you deserve this just as much as you deserve clicking a couple buttons and minting. So I think there's no difference in minting Ordi and getting airdrop Dog to the Moon, because you held that runestone that entire
time. You're acting like you can't go to the gym. You're acting like you can't go spend time with your family. You're acting like you can't.
I'd rather have the time than money. If you were going to give me a dollar for every minute, I'd take the minute.
I know, but like my point is that like, you're not giving up time.
You are.
But what are you doing? Are you staring at your runestones and
staring at it? You're looking around.
No, you get what I'm saying? Like, you're earning the time for money is like skewed, like crazy.
By owning the runestone, You earned it. You earned it by putting your time into your wallet and minting and stuff like that. Was time just like you do on Arbitrum, just like you do on all these other chains, the new MetaMask chain and stuff like that. You're using your times. You're earning those MetaMask tokens.
You didn't know that you were going to get this Runestone airdrop though.
You
had no idea, so you were going to do that anyways.
But I still use my time
because you didn't do it for the Runestone. You did it for those mints. You get
but if
I'm
you
saying?
Fix up your
so then if you say then you'd rather have your time, if you say you'd rather have time, you would have never did that then. You would have never minted all that stuff.
Because I wanted to make money. So exactly. I used my time. I'm just saying time and money is the same thing. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, but it is whenever you have to sacrifice your time. You're not having to sacrifice it because you were already doing that for your monetary gain. You get what
so
I'm saying?
You can still make money by already doing something.
Exactly. So that's what I'm trying to say. It feels more free.
I'm just saying it doesn't. It's the same thing to me. It's the same thing as spending your money and spending your time.
Yes, but like that's like if you have to sacrifice, you can't spend.
I don't understand
you can't
your
spend
point
time with
on
your
this.
Family. You can't go to the gym. You can't freaking. Go
I'm just saying. I don't understand your point
on
this.
Get two tacos and a jumbo jack right after you worked out because you're hungry, and I don't ever do that. But you know, I'm just saying. Like, I look.
It's no difference. And Ordy and Dahl go to the moon.
There is a difference. There's a big difference. But I'm not saying that like it's not going to succeed because I think that more than just the airdrop, there's a huge marketing engine power behind it, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely see it getting to that $1 billion market cap. Let's see how long it can stay there and how long it can grow though. So
yeah. But yeah, man, we got someone from the comments says who gives a move on. All right, we're gonna move on, but we're gonna move on to something a lot better because we have someone amazing just showed up. We got Mr. J from Unicross. Welcome back to Order Evolution, my friend. Mr. J,
you're on mute, sir.
Yo, sorry. Let me put an avatar up. I don't think I look pretty presentable today.
Well, you're live, so it doesn't matter, my friend. You're live. It's too late. It's too late for that. But no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you can throw one up if you want, and then jump back in. Up to you, because the audience wants to hear me and Shizzy's argument about dog to the moon. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, I want to hear that too. But hang on, I'll be back.
Okay.
All right.
No worries.
Well, Mr. J joined us back in a few minutes here. We did have, you know, it's time you were going to spend anyway, but you were right. There's no difference between Dog and Arnie. And that's my exact point. But I did want to hit on one other thing before Mr. J joins us here. I think this is pretty big for the entire space here. Xrest app surpassed 1 million downloads. This is absolutely amazing for the entire ecosystem. What do you think about 1 million downloads for Xrest? Just the Xrest app.
Yeah. Huge for the space, huge for Bitcoin wallets. That's always been like a hurdle, is getting people to download Bitcoin wallets. Obviously, Ordinals help with that because it's a different experience now. Xrest's experience with purchasing these Bitcoin Layer 1 assets has gotten better. We talked about, you know, a little bit before the show, like having multiple addresses is weird, but I kind of changed my mind on that. I don't think it's necessarily a hurdle as much anymore because Xrest makes that kind of seamless as long as you know. I think it's the way to go with Xrest's wallet. Unisat, like their marketplace and stuff is great. Like actually, you know, people just tend to migrate back to it and stuff. But this is huge. This is huge in my opinion.
100%. Amen. Yeah, my opinion. I'll say my opinion on this as well. I just want to say congratulations to Jan. Congratulations to the entire Xrest team. This is actually one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen. Like they built something that is not EVM. It's not, you know, it's not just a copy of MetaMask. Like 90% of the other wallets that are out there, this is something they had to build from scratch. And this is something that now has, you know, a crap ton of users. And congratulations to them. And just very thankful for them and that team to really keep pushing what I love the most, Ordinals and Runes and stuff forward, and this entire this Layer 1 ecosystem.
BRC20.
So,
just kidding.
Ordinals and Runes, because BRC20 is just Ordinals. Because if you go to Unisat and you click Ordinals, it's BRC20s. But yeah, Ordinals and Runes. But
all right. Looks like we got Mr. J back. How are you doing, sir? Oh, we might have lost your volume, though.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yo, yes,
we can
sir.
Hear
what's
you
up,
now,
buddy.
What's up? Man, I don't think I've been live on like your channel before. I think we've had a pretty good talk previously, but yeah, I'm excited to be here and yeah, to talk about Unicross, talk about runes, whatever you guys want to throw at me.
Yeah, so far, well, let's do this because Mr. J, you are an OG of the ordinal space first and foremost, right? You have those roots, so let's hear your opinion on how you feel about runes with the rollout and where it is today.
Okay, so regarding runes, I have to admit that, you know, this is a very honest account of what happened on that day, right? I was at a wedding and I totally missed everything, but I wouldn't have missed a wedding for my friend for anything. So sadly, yeah. I did miss the initial run, but it was crazy, man. Like, I was looking at my phone and I was like, whoa, what the hell is going on? Like, we predicted mempool fees to go above four figures, and it did for some time. And, you know, that showed like the kind of determination of a lot of different parties, especially for ZZZ Feihu. And that was like a strong determination to actually be number one. And I also heard like there's also determinations from some different communities. I can't remember which one it was that spent about, I think, two Bitcoins to get to be the first on 840.001, block 840.001. And they could have gotten like, I think, number 30 or something with those kind of fees. But they chose to be number one on the different block. So, you know, there was a lot of ways that people tried to enter the runes ecosystem and try to make a name for themselves, be one of the top 10. And I'm not shooting at anyone. I just think that, you know, when you think about these things, like whether you want to be number one or number two or three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, you know, it could go on and on. But what I think is that, you know, sometime down the line, like, do you remember like which was number five, which BRC20 was number five,
or if number they two? Were numbered, they were never numbered, you know, but now these are always have a number next to them, you know, they always. Yeah. So I see these numbers as kind of like Ethereum, you know, Ethereum, when you grab a token or something, you have to grab the you know, the contract address. I see these numbers now as contract address. Like, I don't want Doll Go to the Moon, but I want Rune 3.
that's another interesting rune, man. Like, Dark to the Moon is, it was so hyped. I had like a lot of good expectations because of how memeable it was. Like, who spends so much money to like inscribe an image of a moon and then like inserts a little teeny tiny dog and I think a rune stone as well into the image? I find that to be so amazing, and it's really like, it's really historical if you think about it. And I think a lot of people made history with runes.
Are you feeling bullish about runes? Are you feeling kind of like it's disappointed so far? What's your sentiment?
I think it's a new dimension to look at how to do DeFi on Bitcoin. I've been hearing like a lot of different angles of playing with runes, you know. When KC came out with ordinals back then, we were just inscribing images or like inscribing text. But, you know, through recursion, we had like you could like put things together. Inscriptions could, you know, kind of talk to each other for, you know, and come up with an image. If you're doing recursion for images, you could also do like recursion for games or HTML code. So that got me thinking, like, you know, this is still so early. We are all still so early for runes. And even now, we're still so early for ordinals, even though we're already at the stage where we're at layer twos. So it's just so exciting looking at the potential growth of this and how people are going to really play with this this different dimension of runes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it is very early. We're talking about I think maybe day six of the runes protocol launching, and so there's a lot of information that are coming out. One thing I think that there Runes has an advantage over BRC20s, other than some of the technical little nuances, is the fact that, you know, there was ample time to build up to it. So meaning that builders were able to kind of prep tooling and stuff like that, right? So I think that that's a bonus for Runes, is that like there's builders that prep tools and that are kind of already like hit the, you know, their runs, like they've hit their stride kind of like with this building and stuff. From your perspective, representing Unicross, which is a great product on Merlin Chain, how are you feeling so far? I know that you guys bridged over Uncommon Goods. Are you starting to bridge over more and more runes, or is that going to take a while? Because I know a lot of people are ready to start trading these things, but there's a process from the technical level of bridging and all that stuff. Could you talk about that?
Okay, so at this point, we've only done Uncommon Goods, and we're the first to bridge runes over to Layer 2. And that was the one thing that we were focusing on developing last week. And since then, we've actually had a lot of on our plate. We've just also launched our NFT marketplace I think yesterday, and yeah, it's been going pretty good. So we're constantly doing updates based on the user feedback and also based on the problems that we encounter. It's just so great to have like a community to really critique and point out every single problem for us, so we can also improve in real time. One thing that users have talked about was that there's no back button when you go into like different BRC collections and stuff like that. So that was something that we worked on pretty quickly, and it just, I think in general, like focusing on our NFT marketplace for now. And for runes, because I think we're all still in like ticker discovery mode, if I may. And it takes a bit of education for that. One thing that, is a bit delaying for the runes is also educating users about like these different tickers. There are a lot of users who are not English native speakers. So having 13 characters is actually kind of like, it's kind of a daunting hurdle, to growing this ecosystem. And, for us, who speak English pretty much every day, it's not that hard. You come up with all these meme tickers and all that. Unlike BRC20s, where you have like four letters and from recently five letters, it takes a bit of a curve for that. So we're focusing on the NFT marketplace, and because Merlin just announced that they'll be unlocking their seal, so we just want to provide like more avenues for people to utilize their assets on Layer 2. We've seen mempool fees spike pretty much recently. It was pretty stable at around 200 to 200 plus earlier this morning for me, and now it's like I would say, what is it now? It's like 80 or 98 sats per V-byte right now. So yeah, it is quite costly to actually bridge back, or it's also quite costly to trade. For example, I just checked to trade a bitmap on Layer 1, you would actually pay $100, $100-odd, and then you also pay $30 of fees on top of that. Now, that's not very viable when you're doing like large trades. But when you're doing it on Merlin and on Unicross, it basically means that you can do a lot of these probably high volume transactions at a much lower price. So we're looking at under $100 compared to $130 on Layer 1 per trade.
Wow, your marketplace looks phenomenal. I'm blown away. I am blown away by it. I can come here, right? Instead of going to buy a blue box on Layer 1, which is at least double. I don't know the price of the blue blocks, but I can come here and get one for 10 grand. That is absolutely wild.
Yeah. So there are like these arbitrage opportunities, I would say. And here's a bit of alpha actually for everyone as well, who's listening. You could actually go on to our marketplace, Unicross Marketplace, and you could trade. And, you know, since you can't really bridge back your assets at this point for NFTs, I think not for all NFTs, so you can also just trade and, you know, bridge back Bitcoin. So that's a little life hack for you.
So, gotcha. Yeah. So let's talk about bridging, though, because I think that's the biggest thing. You know, we want to get like the fluid, you know, from Bitcoin layer one assets from Bitcoin to Merlin to be able to do it in an easy, efficient, fluid way. So the volume can start increasing in a swap environment or whatever. Like, when is that going to come? Like right now, the uncommon goods, is that like, is there a Merlin contract for that? Or like, for example, if like Merlin Swap, could they add uncommon goods to their decks right now?
I'm not too sure about that, but what we're rolling out soon is Merlin's Phantom. And Merlin's Phantom is was developed in partnership with Merlin Chain. And what it essentially allows you to do is to convert your assets. So it basically, it's like you have one asset on layer one, and then it can be any asset pretty much. So what this means is that, say for example, now you have a JPEG inscription. We'll just call that NFTs for now, so it's simpler to say. And you want to convert it to a rune or a BRC20. So you can do that on Merlin. Merlin's Phantom, and how it works, we'll be releasing more documents about that, but it means that you can tokenize anything and you can turn anything into an NFT. So this opens up a lot of different prospects and utility for different projects. It really depends on the creativity of communities or projects that they want to do this.
Wow. What if I wanted to my bridge and my dog go to the moon? Am I going to be able to do that like this quarter, or that probably won't happen for a while?
I wouldn't say it would take that long. We're rolling out as fast as possible. The public bridge will probably take, I really can't say, but I really hope it's within this week that we can complete it. But the one that we've bridged over, Uncommon Goods, It's already done. You know, all the transactions are on chain, and you can have a look at it on one of our posts. So it's not saying that it can't be done. It's just we really want to make sure that it can be done in a very trustless way with smart contracts. Once we make sure that everything can be bridged safely without any like manual interference, then we can release this product out for everyone to use. I've been getting like some feedback from our community members who really, really want to trade dog on the moon right now. But it is pretty pricey to trade it on layer one, especially when you're buying like big volumes. And we're rolling it out as soon as possible.
So I just want to get some clarity here for the audience as well as us is, so Unicross's goal is to bridge these runes over. And if I have, let's say, Dog Go to the Moon in my, you know, particle net, my, you know, AA wallet, I can technically connect that to like a DEX. And then if that DEX wants to start like trading it, they have the liquidity pools. I can add that to like a pool. And that's it should be able to work that way, right? In a DeFi environment eventually.
Yeah, so because Merlin Chain is an EVM, it's kind of like an EVM environment. So basically all the layer one assets would stay like at the state of the layer one assets that they are. Say for example, it's a rune right now, right? So when you come over to, when you bridge it over to layer two for the utility functions of it, it is an ERC, an ERC token. So yeah. In that sense, you know, these assets can be traded can be treated as an asset that you can put into an LP, can do into staking, Lots of things you can do with it. Apart from just saving,
I think that's fine. Like we're okay with that. Like there's certain people are, they just want to do the swapping and stuff like that. So, but that is the goal, to get it over. Like, so Unicross will be that bridge facility basically, right? To kind of get those tokens over, and then people can acquire them from you guys, or would they will I be able to individually use Unicross to bridge my tokens over?
Yeah, so you can think of us like a gateway of assets into Merlin, a gateway for creation of assets as well. For DEXs, it's only on Merlin Swap right now, but I'm sure there'll be more DEXs coming in. For us, you know, our marketplace is an order book style marketplace, and this actually creates like an environment for people to, you know, actually find arbitrage opportunities between like trading on the DEX, trading on our marketplace. It really, you know, we are really more focused on being like a good gateway and an order book marketplace.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you for that.
Yeah, man. So it seems like you guys put in a lot of work into the marketplace. Marketplace looks absolutely amazing. I'm right now I'm looking at the Bitcoin frogs and stuff like that, which it's the arbitrage is going to be there, right? Because it's going to take money to bridge in and bridge out. So, but this is so cool that I can just come here and potentially there's none listed right now. So if someone wouldn't mind listing their frogs so I can buy one on the umbrella, that would be absolutely amazing. But it's pretty cool that, like, look how cheap the bitmaps are, right? So it takes a few seconds, but then when it comes, there's a lot of data to bring up, right? So there's a lot going on here. But I mean, 0.00138, and then you go over to like Magic Eden, right? So there's already huge. I haven't checked the prices of Bitcoin, honestly, but I mean bitmaps. But let's go down to bitmaps.
Yeah. So it is like when. You know, the mindset of a trader right now on Unicross would be like, hey, you know, I'm trading here with, you know, very low fees compared to on layer one. So maybe I can price my thing a little bit higher. It on the ticker price, it might be a little bit higher. On Magic Eden, it's like 0.0013. Unicross, it's 0.00138. So this difference is actually pretty negligible when you're talking about fees. So when you actually click into like buying something on Magic Eden, you can see like, I actually do have to pay like $20, $30 of fees. So when you price that in, it really is a big difference to the final price.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
So could I bridge this back to layer one if I bought that bitmap that she's looking at right now eventually?
Yes, you can. You can bridge it back or, you know, to me, when you're bridging back, it really depends on, you know, why are you bridging it back? Are you bridging it back to trade? You know, because that's pretty much what you can do on layer one. But there are a lot of projects that will be building like GameFi, and you can doing like staking and all these different things on layer two to you know, increase the utility. So that's like, I would say more fun to do on layer two. And on layer one, you can only
buy. But the option is there, though.
Yeah, the option is there always. So yeah, if you want to bridge, you know, go ahead and bridge.
Awesome. Yeah. We actually had a great conversation with a builder called Bitmap420, which is, I think, supported by Merlin in terms of, like, the initiative. So there's a lot of stuff that's starting to happen in terms of, like, you know, bitmaps and just kind of cleaning that up and trying to get that community re-energized. And I think that needs to happen. But yeah, I really like what I'm seeing in terms of the marketplace as well. You know, for me, I think it's really kind of a little bit about the degenning and then getting the volume over to Merlin to degen these Bitcoin layer one assets. Once that happens, in my opinion, the entire chain's volume will start to grow and get to a point to where I think, you know, a lot of attention and activity will be on Merlin. There's another DEX that I know that's going to be reaching out to you about partnershipping and stuff like that on there. And so, and they're Bitcoin. Yeah. They're Bitcoin OG guys too. So layer, you know, Ordinal OG guys. So
I have a feeling I know who you're talking about.
Don't spoil it for everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I mean, what's up? Take a guess?
Yeah, I'm kidding. No, no, no. I'm kidding. Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you know, we talked to them a lot. We're advisors for one of the DEXs here on, and you know, they're honestly just kind of waiting to get more layer one assets over. And what you guys are doing is helping not only your own cause, but the entire ecosystem. So we definitely appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, there is, you know, we'll be very frank, you know, we've been friends for quite some time now. So there is a little bit of friction to like, hey, are my assets going to be safe? And, you know, is this thing trusted? But one thing to understand right now is that there's no layer twos that are really supporting BRC20s or bitmaps or based pretty much like collections. And Merlin is actively supporting it because he's the founder, Jeff. You know, he's been on like the Ordinals. He's been in the trenches with us since 100%. The early bitmap days. So these assets on layer one, you know, it's very highly valued in not just like in dollar terms, but in the cultural and community sense. So when you think about like where this whole like Merlin chain came from, it's really from the community, from the trenches. Ordinals are dead. Ordinals are not dead. So up all the way up to this point. So that's one thing that you can think about. And another thing is that, is it safe? You know, is it safe to put your Bitcoins on like sexes or, you know, is it safe to do that? And the answer is, you know, every user can find out for themselves whether they, you know, feel it's safe to do this or not. But there's been like a lot of assets up to like 4 billion at one point of TVL on Merlin. And 300 million has been bridged out with zero issues. And there's been like no security issues. So I think sooner or later, people can understand that, hey, this thing, you know, it will prove itself through time. And we'll be seeing more growth, you know, once that happens as well.
Yeah. I forgot who I saw posted. It was a prominent Bitcoin, like, I don't know if he was a developer or like he definitely was educated in the development of Bitcoin and stuff. And he said the best options right now are multi-sig, you know, bridges. And I think he said another option was kind of like what Stacks is doing. And that's true. And that's kind of what Merlin's doing. Obviously, they're doing MPC, which is similar to that multi-sig, and just having a trusted kind of steward kind of helping, being that third party watching over that. I think you're right. You know, it's going to get to a point to where if people, it's the volume, right? Once that volume increases, people realize that there's opportunity over there, arbitrage opportunity, or just opportunity with new hot stuff. That's whenever I think it's going to pick up. But
yeah, and it's also like opportunities. So say you have a 100 Bitcoin or even one Bitcoin or less, and you want to get yields from your Bitcoin. That's not something that you can do on layer one at this point, right? I'm happy if there's something like that on layer one in the future, but definitely not now. And if you want to get yields from that, native yields, you can do that on Bitcoin with Solve BTC. And you can also go on to like Mage Finance, you know, you can put your Bitcoin there and then you can lend it out to people. I think they're rolling out their lending sometime next week. And there's just so much that you can do on layer two to grow your Bitcoin, use your Bitcoin to grow your Bitcoin. So there's definitely all these use cases that would attract more users to the layer two ecosystems. And I think as the ecosystem grows and these opportunities increase, it would be like it would be very attractive to anyone who wants to grow their assets through the DeFi ecosystem.
Yep,
100%. Yep.
Yeah, man. You have something? Yeah.
No. Go ahead.
Okay, I was gonna say, Mr. J, like, so there's something I've been thinking about, right? I think that over time, smart contracts are gonna be replaced by AI, right? So let's just say if you want to bring your Doggo to the Moon over, you're going to send it to an NPC wallet, and then the AI is automatically going to create a smart contract for the EVM, right? And automatically send that to the address it wants to. I think AI eventually becomes like the smart contract for Bitcoin. I'm curious of your opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, AI is like putting your trust in like in code, right? So exactly. we all trust like code on like blockchains and all that. So yeah, I think that's a very viable option in the future. And
as long as it's open and transparent code.
Yeah, yeah. And everything is open and transparent, you know, to a certain point. Like how transparent can you be from like a human actually talking to you or putting up like their credentials or something like that, right? So
yeah,
for AI, definitely something that I'm looking forward to. But at this point, you know, perfection is a journey, and we have to start somewhere.
Yep, 100%. I agree with that. All right, guys, we are 5 minutes over the ordinary hour, which is fine. Well, it was a great conversation with Mr. J, but if you wouldn't mind hanging out for a little bit longer, we're going to do a little Q&A. We always do. We got 391 people in here. Are you good to hang out for a little bit more?
Of course, bro. Of course. I love hanging out with you guys. And I have a question for you before, you know, you shoot your questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Will we be seeing each other in Ordinals Asia?
We were going to go, but we kind of pulled out of it just being so so close and everything.
It was so close to it, and the shortest like flight was I think like 20 something hours. Jeez. With like a layover.
So. I'm not ready for that, Mr. J. I've been on like a couple planes. I don't know if I'm ready for a 24 hour plane ride.
Oh my god.
Okay, yeah. September.
I can understand.
September. Are you going to be there for the
Singapore Sora Summit?
Yes.
Sora Summit is in December.
No, it's not Sora Summit. It's the one that Ord Zora.
Singapore. You're talking about the Ordinal Summit, right?
Yes.
I wouldn't miss that for the world, you know. Shout out to the guys from Artzar. I love Nakib, David.
Love Nakib, yeah.
And the whole team. I can't say their names. I don't think they're dogs.
We met Nakib in New York.
He's an amazing guy to hang out with.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun over there.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, we are planning on going to that one. We have, you know, time to kind of get early flights for that one.
Yeah.
So we won't have to do the, you know, one stop, two stop stuff. So hopefully we can hang out then. Are you going to come to Nashville at all or no?
I would say probably not traveling to the States for the better part of the year. But I'm looking to get my visa done so I can go. And let's see how that goes.
Awesome. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the Q&A here. First question is from one of our longtime community members. He's been in Ordinals for a while as well, Danny Boy. D-Blocks here says, is there anywhere to see charts on runes yet? Shizzy, have you found a place to see charts for runes?
No, just Unisat, really, right? Unisat still has your charts from BRC20s?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think it's too early. You might be able to, like, search... like one of these popular ones on Google.
Yeah, so I know Satoshi Nakamoto has one for Gate.io. You can check that one out. Go to Gate.io. They have Meme Economics, Wanko, whatever it's
Wanko,
called.
Manko.
Wanko, Manko. And then they have the other one as well. So
Yeah.
It's really, really early, like 2 days.
Yep. All right. Raul Ray asks, what happened with Merlin Dog airdrop? So I think they're asking about, is it the Merlin said that they would airdrop Lobo the dog, I think, right?
It's both of them. It's Lobo the dog and thing. But I mean, guys, they just got the tokens. Like, give them some time to make the smart contracts. So you got to dish these out. I think, you know, it's only been a few hours. Like, you guys will be all right. You can't really trade. I mean, yes, you can trade them on Merlin's spot. But do you know anything about this, Mr. J? You're probably a little more informed than I am.
Okay, so with these airdrops like Lobo and runestones, where it's very clear cut, like how many tokens will be going to each runestone. I think they're sorting this out pretty quickly, and yeah, they'll be airdropping it in due time. Working at the speed that they do, I wouldn't think that it would take too long for that. I'm from Unicross, not from Merlin, but yeah, I'm happy to answer things that I know as well. This is what I know.
Gotcha. Awesome. Appreciate that. Yeah, sure. Your guy, Yasher, says, what is your opinion about Francis claiming against Leonidas and the whole rune protocol? So personal stuff, we're going to try to stay away from. Like, but in terms of rune protocol, you want to go ahead, Shizzy?
Well, I think Francis has a big giant bag of Ordi, right? That's what I'm thinking. I think Francis's bag of Ordi is so big for his back that runes kind of gets him a little worried. Francis is my guy, though. I love Francis doing Uncensored, but his bag of Ordi is so big that he just hates this dog go to the moon and he hates runes. But yeah, my opinion. I don't know if that's for sure, but that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, I think that Francis is. I think he's genuine about this. I've heard him talk off camera, and and he's just bothered by it. But I'll say that he has stated that he's moving forward. I guess after this whole investigation that's happening right now. But so that's what I'll say about that. All right, this is a good question from SA and another one of our members. Guys, we have 539 people on a Wednesday in here because Mr. J, you're a good luck charm. You're bringing people in here.
You're bringing 200 people in your game, in, Mr. J. Thank you, sir.
Oh, my God. It's you guys. It's all you guys.
As Dan said, if I got runes in the same Unisat wallet that I hold all my other stuff, am I good to trade them, or do I need to do some other stuff? So I actually moved all of my runes out of all my Unisat wallets this morning just to be safe. I put them in Xverse because Xverse uses the SegWit address for your payment, Bitcoin payment, and they use the Taproot for your other stuff. So there should be okay if you're using Xverse, but Unisat, they said they fixed it, but I just, to be on the safe side, I sent all of it out to Xverse.
Yeah, I highly recommend everyone use Xverse for a little while. I know everyone loves Unisat. If you do have a Unisat wallet, just put your words in Xverse and send that SegWit address some Bitcoin just to be safe until Unisat gets some things figured out. And that way everything won't be able to be burned and stuff like that. So let's just be safe and let's use our Xverse wallets until Unisat really gets the problem fixed. And I think they will get that fixed pretty soon. But you can do everything with Xverse that you can with Unisat.
Yeah, I want to add to that, Xverse, the way that they are structured is pretty good for new things. I would say, when you're doing new things, you just use Xverse. No hate to Unisat, but the way it's structured is really helpful for segregating these experimental assets that you have.
Yep. Good point. I think you're correct on that. All right, man. USX, need to calm down a little bit, man. He's over here. Three comments in a row. Oh, my God. Move on. Who gives a F? Oh, my God. Move on.
He's so angry.
Y'all spend 15 minutes arguing every day. That is 15 minutes of your entertainment, guys.
This is a loyal supporter that you guys have, man.
Yeah, he's a good guy. We like him. Shizzy, I get this a lot.
Hugh1256 says, Shizzy, you are wrong, actually, from earlier. So he took back what he said.
All right, here we go.
Let's see what other questions we got in here. Tree City West, shout out. Tree City West has been consistent every day hopping in here. We appreciate your support. He says, am I paper hands or lettuce hands? Since I sold my dog at 4.5 sats per dog to the moon. Let's see. Hold on.
What do you think, Mr. J?
It's five sets right now. Hands
or paper hands?
Five sets. Not too bad. Dude, you can't. No one's going to knock you for taking profit.
At $300 million market cap. Like, no one's going to be mad if you took profit at $300 million market cap.
One airdrop is $2,800. Like, you probably got like $2,750 for that or something. So, or $2,700. So, no one's going to call you paper hands for selling that. As saying says, Mr. J's on fire.
Yay.
Nocturnal, our guy from hangs out in the OSD chat, one of our longtime members, comparing Prometheans with other runes drops, what kind of market cap are you expecting for decentralized, given that Henry, the grape from Kongs, stated that the distribution will be more than 90% for holders? So you got your answer there, Shizzy, because you wondering how much the team was going to hold. So they're going to hold 10%. It's not a tiny amount, but it's not huge. It's a good amount, though.
Well, the team, it's actually a team behind it. Like Satoshi Nakamoto is different because we don't know what that 20% is going to be used for, if it's one person or it's a team. This being the CyberKongs and this being a project that, that came from Ethereum that is building over here on Bitcoin now, only keeping 10% is absolutely huge because they can use that 10% to actually build this Ordinal project out. And I'm hoping that I can take my tokens eventually, my decentralized tokens, the number two rune, and be able to burn that maybe to get a position, a whitelist spot for this upcoming. I know that I'm not 100% sure they're building an Ordinal project, but I think they're building an Ordinal project. And I hope they're building an Ordinal project because I want a CyberKong Ordinal over here on Bitcoin. And I want to burn my decentralized tokens to receive that. And I would absolutely love that. So if you're hearing CyberKongs, I want to burn my tokens and I want a whitelist spot.
Okay. So let's go back to the question. It says, what kind of market cap are you expecting from them?
Around same as R6, same as Dog, around between 300 million, sorry.
Yeah, because I think they have the same amount, around the same amount of ordinals as R6 did. So maybe you could expect that like high 100 million to low 200 million. Yeah. The difference is the 10%, you know.
I really have to commend like the CyberKongs for doing the airdrop. You know, that took quite a bit of funds to do that. I think holding a bit of that is you know, actually good.
Yeah, 100%. And the fact that they went hard for that number two spot for the runes too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely, man.
So, you know.
I'm going to ask Mr. J, are you bullish on decentralized?
I am. Like, you know, you don't spend that kind of money and, you know, not do anything with it, right? So 100%. I have confidence in like CyberKongs, even though they're late to the whole Bitcoin ecosystem. They smashed it, man, with their airdrop. Like I would say, like it was a week, I think, before the runes, and then like they actually went so hard to get number two. So I really respect them for that.
Yeah, not just that, like. It's almost, if you were to grade the way they rolled everything out, I would give them like at least an A, maybe even A+, because I feel like they haven't fumbled anything yet. Now, knock on wood, but you know, they've done a great, amazing job so far.
Yeah, definitely want to reach out. If anyone's watching this, we can get in touch with the Kongs, man. Please reach out to them. We would love to have them on the show. We want to do a full episode with those guys. We want to go all the way back to their Ethereum days and find out what they're building over here. So I'm very excited to talk to those guys. So,
Yep. All right. Urban Board got BTC says, what do you think about this name? Hottest pixel chick ever. And then says, is it memeable?
Oh, Mr. Jay, this is a question for you, buddy.
Yeah.
I think any ticker is a good ticker. If you can make a very nice image out of it, I think it would fly. Non-financial advice. This is just degenerate.
Yeah. I don't know if it's memeable. Maybe. Like Mr. Jay said, if you can just create the image, then anything can kind of be memeable.
Look at pups. Like, look how memeable they are. So
yeah,
it's all about memes right now.
All right.
500 people in here, guys. Thank you guys so much. Please smash the like. It helps out more than you guys know. Thank you so much. We have over 250 people watching from YouTube. That is pretty big for us because we have another 250 over watching on Twitter. Thank everyone. It means so much to us, guys.
All right, Wendy Yam, another member of ours. We appreciate your membership, Wendy. This is a question for Mr. J. What's your opinion on runes? He kind of got into that. Maybe if you can summarize that again in a short couple sentences. And then any use cases that you're aware of so far with runes.
Okay, so I'm going to break this down to layer one and layer two. Okay. For layer one, I see some use cases being discussed of a whole art collection, you know, within Runes. And also I've been hearing like different DeFi functions on it. But on layer two, the possibilities are endless. You can do like I mentioned just now on Merlin, you can have Merlin's Phantom, which you can interchange it with different image inscriptions, or if you want to turn it into a BRC20 for some reason, or, you know, just interchange it and then utilize it for staking, for swaps, a whole DeFi ecosystem and GameFi, pretty much anything.
Yep. Good answers there.
Could you explain, because this is the first time I've ever heard of Merlin Phantom, and I'm kind of mad at myself for not knowing what the heck it is and who created it. This is something by the Merlin team, or is this something from the Unicross team?
Okay, so this is a collab with Merlin Chain.
Okay.
And basically what Merlin's Phantom is a function on Unicross which allows you to convert assets. So think of, say, now you have a BRC20 community who is really, really excited that they want to, you know, go into the Runes protocol. And through Merlin's Phantom, they can do that. And they can convert, you know, their BRC20s to like awesome. Runes. And also, another interesting aspect about this is that, say, you have 1,000 sats. And 1,000 sats would entitle you to actually convert into an image of Satoshi Nakamoto. So you go to Unicross and then you convert that to Satoshi Nakamoto's image. And, you know, the sky's the limit for where you can take all these utilities to. To be honest, a lot of these amazing ideas come from the community. And yeah, we can look forward to that.
That's awesome. I can't wait to dig into that. Yeah. Is that platform going to be like launching soon, or is it already out?
It'll be launching soon, and we'll provide some announcements on it.
Awesome. All right, Mr. Mighty Sonu, Shizzy, sir, what do you think about decentralized allocation? So what do you think about the 90%? Some people are saying that 90%, we heard that. And he says, in his opinion, they will not give more than 50%, which is weird because they announced 90%. He says, because they came here to earn money and they've already invested $500,000 to Etch. So I guess, what's your opinion on his opinion? Because we know that it's 90%.
Go ahead. Think about it, though. If it's 10%, if they get 10% and this goes to $1 billion market cap, which I think it will, I think that is very fair for this type of token, then that's what, $100 million that they're holding with the 10%? That's way more than enough, right? So I think that by giving to the community, by giving the 90% to the community, is the smartest thing that they can do. If they choose to use that money to create partnerships and stuff like that and not just enrich themselves, right? If they use that 10%, because they already made a lot of money on Ethereum. I don't think they need the money, but I think they can use that money now to build an amazing Ordinal project, potentially 10,000, 20,000 on-chain, you know, really cool looking cybercons, right? So I think they can, if they use that money to enrich the community even further with amazing art project or stuff like that, then I think it's absolutely amazing. If they use that 10% to enrich themselves, that's horrible. But if they just keep building, and I think they will, I'm pretty sure they will. I don't know anything about them really, but from what you guys know, I think that they're going to use that 10%, that potential $100 million, to really build something amazing here in Bitcoin. And if they do that, then they'll enrich themselves in the long term with a giant, amazing company.
It actually, you know, takes a lot of money to run a company, to have devs especially. So, you know, I think everyone's forgetting, like, when these airdrops and these projects happen, like, there's no cost involved, but there are. And, you know, I'm looking at this in the point of from the point of view of a builder, and we're building, and we also really, we're building like products. We really want like users to have a great experience, and also to have value from what we're building. You know, that's what builders take pride in, right? So, you know, I would say from their track record, they're definitely going to use that for something good. Just from my point of view, yeah.
Yeah. I trust your point of view. I am bullish on the cybercons, and we do have I was talking to him today, Gingerbread Man. He is a mod for them, and he's going to get me in touch with them. But he said, by the way, it was at least 90%, so it could be more. than 90%. So shout out him. He's going to get me in touch with the CyberCons and get them on the show, and I'm really excited for that.
Well, and also their collection on ETH does well, right? I think the floor was like around 40K, so they'll probably do some sort of crazy collection over here if they decide, you know, to do it. It seems like they know how to definitely catch the attention of a community in a span of like a week and a half, right? Yeah. So if they can do that in a week and a half to 2 weeks, then I think they have the skill set to do something big.
Well, what can they do in like a few months, right?
Exactly, exactly. Our guy Lemonomics, this is someone that has been working with us a little bit here. He says if they did 90% to only holders as an airdrop, would be a win for short term, but a mistake long term. And they most likely would want to add more outsiders to the CyberKong ecosystem. Yeah, I think their experience is, you know, they have their experience there. So we'll see what happens.
You gotta think though, if it gets to a billion, like I think it does, that's $100 million.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I think everybody's happy at that point.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
except for the bag holder for the next 6 months if they end up holding. But yeah, all right, Nocturnal, Mr. J, did you come from the east side before Ordinals? If so, are there any projects you would like to see migrate to the space?
Good question. I came from the Solana side, so. To be honest, I would love to see like Solana Maxi Business come to Ordinals. They're an OG collection on Solana. As for ETH collections, I really can't comment too much about that.
Yeah. So was that Solana Maxi Biz?
Is that where ZK got that from?
No, that's not the one that ZK came from. It's they're cute monkeys. They are like true OGs of Solana, like true OG collections, and they even have like a Solana Maxibiz DAO, and they have like a SMB fund as well. So they're big, man. They're a very very mature DAO.
Interesting. Awesome. Yeah, that's interesting. I never heard of them. Holden Wolf says, "Shithy, you mean you spent your time researching?" Thinking about Runestone and didn't have it to live into Merlin Phantom.
Mr. J and Yagami didn't hit me up in my DM and say, "Yo, check out Merlin Phantom." So I didn't see it. All right.
I would remind you if we actually launch it, then definitely I would let you know. But the concept has been out, and we're building on it, and we're really really excited to actually roll it out once it's ready.
In my defense, though. Jeff comes out like every day with a new update and a new post. It's if you miss one day, you could miss like an entire genre of business of building, projects. Right? So
He comes up with ideas and it's like, hey, can you guys do that? I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah.
Well, this is a great follow-up question to that from Sayan. Says, when do you think that the L2 phase on Bitcoin will take off? So I think he's speaking more of like the crazy volume, several protocols on Merlin and maybe even other L2s or whatever, but you know, to where like that attention is over there, like really focused to that. Mr. J, when do you think this could possibly happen? And what do you think is dependent upon this?
Okay. A few things. Number one, I would say the mempool. So when we were at, I would say this morning for myself, it was about 200 sats, and doing anything on layer one without like a high conviction would be pretty hard. So yeah, number one, mempool fees that really go up high. Number two, it would be, you know, this is very, very frank, basically wealth generation. So there is zero friction when there's like a high wealth generation opportunity for entry. Yeah. Right. So I think these two things, and also number three, the ecosystem. So Merlin has a pretty good ecosystem right now, but there are more things to be built on Merlin as well. And, you know, to put it like to give you a perspective, Merlin is kind of like a little city, a little like you could call it like a planet right now that has, you know, some buildings right now. And you know, for Unicross, our role is to populate that place with trees, with rivers and stuff like that, with our assets asset minting and all that. So yeah, just to populate the ecosystem. So yeah, just a summary: mempool fees go high, wealth generation, and the ecosystem growing. Ecosystem growing is definitely growing at a very fast pace. We see a lot of new dApps coming in almost every day. And yeah, the mempool fees are pretty high right now. So all that's left is the wealth generation part. And I think we'll be set for a very big run.
Yeah. Let's go. I think that's that was perfect answer breakdown there, because the wealth generation part, a lot of people overlook because Bitcoin's back to 60 something thousand. But really, for the entire like alts and all these, let's just talk about like the whole crypto space for a second. For the other ecosystems to start to do good, have energy and stuff, Bitcoin has to reach that wealth generation kind of price point, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. 120,000, 140,000. People are going crazy. Why didn't I buy Bitcoin at 60,000? Calling their, you know, friends that are in the crypto, asking them what's the next new thing. Merlin will be in that conversation. People will be like, okay, I want to get in. FOMO has to set once that wealth generation opportunity happens, which it will. So is that kind of what you were talking about with that?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. And, cool. You know, being the first has its pros and cons as well. So everyone is kind of, you know, using a very similar technology in the back end. And, you know, being the first is kind of like, you know, you get all these like problems that you have to solve and everyone can build upon that. So, but you get first is first, you know, as with Bitcoin. Yep.
100%. So they kind of get to learn from your mistakes a little bit, or like your issues that you resolve. But like you said, first is first. So once you get it done, you'll be live first with all those fixes and stuff. So, mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome. All right. From Cheaty, one of our longtime members, he says, for the Unicross guy, his name is Mr. J Cheaty, just to give you clarity there. Kindly ask him if they are you guys going to allow one-to-one swaps for the BRC20 Rufi to Ruin Rufi, or what does that look like?
BRC Rufi. Okay, so for this Merlin's Phantom swap, right? How it works potentially would be the person that wants to initiate this would say, hey, you know, maybe you can swap 1-to-1, 1-to-10, or anything that these parameters can change. But we'll be releasing more information about the BRC Rufi swapping to the Rune Rufi in the coming days.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah. Sounds good. So just stay tuned for those instructions. I Walk Alone, great member of ours, asking about the Merlin seal. When the unstaking happened.
I know
I know this has been the biggest question. So they already started the unstaking for the I think the ERC20 assets, and mm-hmm. then it said 24 to 48 hours for Bitcoin and BRC20s and Bitcoin layer one assets. Does that sound about right? Or do you know any information about that?
Okay, so USDC and USDT can be unstaked already. From what I heard from Jeff, a lot of different assets would be able to be unstaked within like a few hours, within today, which is like, you know, in a few hours, right? So yeah, you'll be seeing more and more like assets being able to be unstaked. Just a kind reminder that, you know, try to time your unstaking properly, because mempool fees can be pretty high. And if you've already staked, you know, a lot of different assets, say you stake your Dragon Ball, your BitSmiley, your Blue Boxes, and if you have a lot of these assets and you're bridging it back, it could cost a lot based on the gas fees. So another thing that you could do, you know, no bias, is you could trade it on Unicross to Bitcoin, and then just in one transaction, just bridge
it all out.
Yeah.
If you do list your puppet, I will probably buy it. I have a bunch of Bitcoin Merlin that I would like to buy a puppet with. So if you do list it here on Mr. J's market, I'll probably buy it. I'm looking. So
yeah, we've just launched it, and we've already gotten like a pretty good response from listings and transactions.
Come on, guys, so, list one. List the one. I want to buy it. List it. Come on. But this is amazing, yeah. Mr. J. I love it, dude. I can't wait to see people start, because if you obviously have it. Like if you have it in the seal, you probably have it in your Merlin wallet. You can come over here to Unicross, click Marketplace, and list it. Right, so you don't have to. You don't have to send it out anymore and pay that $200, you know, withdrawal fee. You can actually just come here and sell it here, get that Bitcoin. And if you want to bring that Bitcoin out, then you can bring that Bitcoin out through, I think it's Messen.fi or USDT through Messen.fi as well. So
or you can bridge your Bitcoin over through the Merlin bridge to Bitcoin.
Then paying that fee again. That's what I was trying to avoid.
Yeah, but it'd be one transaction.
Clarify that a little bit with bridging. So if you're bridging it back with, you know, the official Merlin bridge, that doesn't cost you anything other than like what you have to pay on like Bitcoin, Bitcoin gas fees. But if you want to do it on on Merlin's official bridge, it'll take 3 days, which is considerably faster compared to like Base and the different ones, which is like 7 to 14 days. But if you want it to be really quick, you can do it on Mason. But that would cost you some fees in addition to the Bitcoin gas fees.
It's not much though. The fees on Messen are pretty cheap. I think I paid, but I was doing it through Arbitrum, so it was like it was almost pennies. And I did it through Binance. I did Binance, and then I got my Bitcoin over there on Binance, and I immediately sent it to Mexi, and Mexi just it shows up as Bitcoin, and then you can withdraw that if you want to from there as well. But you know. But that's a choice that you have to make. But I can't remember it, but I didn't pay a lot on
Yeah, it's simple and it's so quick. I mean, for the most part, right? We had Lou Ferrigno come back and visit us.
The famous
Lou Ferrigno, who played Hulk in the 80s Hulk show. Thank you for joining us, Lou. but here's the last question, and then we'll wrap this up. It says, this is for you, Mr. J. So Unicross, you list only assets that was on Merlin Seal and bridge them on the marketplace. So I guess the question is more of like, can you only list stuff that you staked on Merlin Seal? Or can I bridge Puppet over right now and list it as well?
Okay. So it's really dependent on Merlin's bridge. So say for right now, Merlin's bridge is not supporting these collection bridges. So yes, the answer is you can only list things that are on Merlin Seal right now. But once they allow bridging of collections and different things, then you can basically trade anything. Also, we'll pretty much support like assets that are supported by Merlin, basically.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a game changer too, guys, because I think that's going to change volumes on Merlin, because right now it's a weird situation. People have their stuff staked, they want it unstaked, so a lot of times they're not wanting to necessarily trade. But once you have the freedom to bridge over from L1 to L2 and then bridge back and all that stuff, you can trade freely. I think that's when volumes will pick up. There's going to be some Chinese whales that want to maybe trade frogs or maybe trade something else over here, bitmaps. You know, I know the bitmap token is going to be a big thing. The W420 token for the blue box is going to be a big thing for Chinese whales. So we'll see what happens when that happens. But great question. Amazing. Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. Can I just okay. I totally forgot about shilling myself. today, with the announcement of this marketplace, we actually have like a 50% discount on the buyer fees. So it is currently like 1%, which is, I think, more than 50% less than a lot of these mainstream marketplaces. And traders will actually get rewards in the form of trading points when you trade on Unicross. So, you know, take advantage of this time to make use of what you have in Merlin Seal, or if you want to rack up some points, and we'll be having some surprises for you in the future.
Ooh. Nice. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. All right. Well, an amazing show. Mr. J jumped on with us and, you know, answered some great questions. We love you guys. Of course, 623 people on hump day. Usually we get maybe 400. So appreciate all you guys hanging out with us for sure. And you want to do our our closeout?
Yeah, we got. I just want to thank Mr. J one last time. Mr. J, thank you so much for being here, man. We'd love you to join us again. Yeah, just hang out for a second. But I just want to say how appreciative we are of you, and thank you so much. And anytime we go live around the same time every single day, you just message me in the morning. But yo, send me a link. We'll have you on any day, Mr. J. If you have anything you want to come on, even just hang out with us, if you're ever interested, that is an open invitation Monday to Friday. It's 11 a.m. Eastern time. I'm not sure what time it is for you. I think it's 11 p.m., right?
Yeah.
Or 12 p.m. now. Yeah. So if anytime you're up in the middle of the night and you want to come on our show, we would love to have you on. But thank you so much, my friend.
All right. I love you guys, man. Thank you.
Yep, for sure. I want to end it right here with Ernesto. Mr. Yago B. No. We appreciate you guys. Go to the website, ordinaryrevolution.com. Check out our gear. Get your discounted Nashville tickets, and I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if you think about becoming a member, join the membership. We're gonna have a member video out later today, so definitely check that out. We got some alpha and exactly what we're doing with our personal portfolios. So you guys want to check that out? Tune in every single day, Monday to Friday, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 Eastern time. That's 10 a.m. Central, and I think that's 7 a.m. Pacific, right? Something like that. But we're here every single day, Monday to Friday, guys. Please come hang out with us. We have 260 people watching on YouTube. That is huge for us. Thank you so much. And obviously the 200-300 people that are on Twitter. And we are competing with Francis too. And Francis decided to compete with us today. So getting those numbers and competing with Francis Dude on Sender means so much to us, guys. Thank you so much. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.
I'm just going to hang out for a minute. See you guys.
We OG, we OG, or no G. You're not bullish enough, yeah. Oh no, you're not bullish enough. You ain't got the or no. I get stoned by the bolo. Bitcoin set to Olo, yeah. Experts on reload, yeah. You're not bullish enough, yeah. Oh no, you're not bullish enough. You ain't got the or no. I get stoned by the bolo. Bitcoin set to Olo. Experts on reload. Man, boo getting hot. Everybody wanna rock, ayy. Rooms is coming, everybody on a night, ayy. It's a nuisance, order no revolution, ayy. Order no revolution.
Yo, is my guy for real, bro?
Rooms down.
Got French right now. Yo, BRC420, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, that shit on fire, bro. Imagine if he in here.
Yeah, lock it in the seal.
Murder.
I got balls of steel. Nookie on the field. Yeah, this shit for real. With no calls, I get so far. Got 100 phone calls that I go hard, and they gon' love me. Smoke weed, huddle back. I get shiesty. Where my Bitcoin looking lovely. All this Satoshi's nothing above me.